Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast today. I hope you enjoy it. But first, I want to ask you a question. Are you someone who has high upside potential in your business, and yet sometimes that goal is just hard to get to, and maybe the only way you've seen to get to it is just to make more calls, you know, work harder? Well, if you're fed up with using old strategies to solve new problems, then I might have a solution. It's my 5-day Million Dollar Seller Challenge. We meet 1 hour a day in a coaching intensive where I will teach you 5 moves that you can make to scale your results without working harder. To learn more, click the link in the show notes or go to milliondollarsellerchallenge.com. Are you ever bothered by the continuous recommendation from experts that you got to tell stories? Stories are the currency of your business, and tell your customer story and your avatar story, just get better at it, and it leaves you cold because you always wonder, okay, makes sense, but how? Well, in today's episode, I interview David Garfinkel, who's world famous in his copywriting business, but he's really transferred his expertise into the art of storytelling. He has a book called The Persuasion Story Code. I think you'll really enjoy this interview. Here's my talk with David Garfinkel. We're talking today with David Garfinkel. As I said, he is author of The Persuasion Story Code. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that book. But David, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here, Bill.
You know, when I think about story, over the last 5 to 7 years, I hear about story a lot. You need to be telling stories. You got to have a life story. You got to have an origin story of origin. You know, you've got to have all these things. Yet I hear very few people talking about, well, how exactly do I do that? Because sometimes you'll hear people, like I was at a get together last night, and one man, I got to be careful here, he may be listening. One man dominated the conversation by telling boring story after boring story after boring story about his life 20 years ago, 10 years ago. And it's like, that's not what we mean by story. Story are not just aimless stream of consciousness blathering. It has to have an intent behind it. And so I'm really glad to have you on today, because I've been struggling with this whole idea of story. What is it? How do we construct it? So I'm hoping you can bring some clarity to us today.
Sure. Well, again, thanks for having me. And since conspiracy theories are so popular these days, I thought I'd throw one out there. They're doing it to you. It's not the guy at the party. That's a different problem. But there's a whole Hollywood industrial complex, and there are people there who have discovered what Joseph Campbell discovered in 1949, the hero's journey. And they've, you know what they say, if all you have is a hammer, then every problem is a nail.
Yeah.
And the fact is, there have been a lot of people who really should know better who've been telling us that all of our stories need to be hero's journey stories. And
so explain for our listeners who, and it would help me too, what is the hero's journey story, just real quickly?
Well, if you think about a Harry Potter movie, or you think about an Indiana Jones story, or you think about most great movies, or you think about the classics, you even think about Greek classics like Homer, there's a person, they go out into the world, well, they're having an ordinary day, and then an opportunity or a challenge arises, and then they go out into a different world, and they go on this arduous path of danger and excitement, and they're going after one thing, and it gets harder and harder, and it looks like all is lost, and at the last moment, something happens, and 2 hours later, credits roll. Okay, that's the hero's journey there.
Yeah, okay, that's perfect, perfect. Yeah, okay, keep going.
And so there are all of these clowns out there telling us that that's what we're supposed to do in business, but I don't know if you're married, but if, you know, at breakfast, you're telling your wife what happened yesterday, you're not going to go into 2 hours, unless you're like the guy at the party, and he's a problem.
He would. Yes, he would. His wife was not with him either, so now we know why.
Now we know why, exactly. He avoids any situation where he will talk.
He's got a story tell.
In real life, and especially in business, in sales, in persuasion, in marketing, in meetings where you have to persuade a group, we don't talk like that. So what really bothered me is, why is everybody telling a lie about this, and why is nobody actually documented and systematized and explained what we really do? And so that's what I did.
Okay, that's excellent. That's so you kind of surmised the same thing, that you heard a lot of these people talking about story, but they were talking about story in a whole different realm, which is movie making, which probably, you know, Campbell's philosophy and framework is probably appropriate for that. A lot of movies we see have that, but we're not making a movie. We're trying to figure out a way to get our point across in a minute and a half, and that whole movie thing doesn't work. So how did you get interested in this?
Well, I've always been interested in movies. I actually even wrote a screenplay and got Hollywooded and said, okay, that's enough of that. But I was still interested. I took all these seminars. I read all of these books. I didn't write a lot of those stories. My career path has been as a business journalist and as a copywriter, direct response advertising copywriter. And so I was going in this path of copywriting, and then I started coaching people, and now I mentor copywriters and I work with business owners. Meanwhile, I kept reading these books about story. I stopped going to seminars a while ago, but, you know, a new book would come out and I would buy it and read it and eat it up. And I thought, there's something there. These guys know how to get our attention and keep it better than most other people do, but the only thing they know how to sell is tickets to their own movies. And sometimes even that doesn't work. So I thought, okay, as a copywriter, we use stories all the time.
Yeah, and right.
As a sales guy, you know, salespeople use stories all the time. But the good ones, you know, it's like you don't want Andy Reid playing quarterback and you don't want Brett Mahomes coaching the team. You want them doing what they do. And yeah. So a lot of the good performers were not very good at teaching it. But I am a teacher. I've been doing that, teaching, coaching a long time. And can I tell you something sort of silly? When I was 8 years old, I was having breakfast, eating my sugar smacks, and there was a contest. And the contest said, Sugar Bear has stolen the beehive and all the bees are going to sting him. What can he do to escape? And so being the person I am, I said, well, that's obvious. He should go to the other end of the meadow and pour a bowl of sugar smacks and leave them there. And all the bees will go there because everyone loves sugar smacks. And I won the contest.
That's cool. That's so cool.
Sent me a little Sugar Bear doll. So, yeah, I mean, stuffed animal, I guess. I've been like a persuasion story person before I even knew about it. And I was never really successful with fiction or those kind of narrative stories. Let me tell you something interesting about micro stories. That's what I call them. I call them micro stories because as to contrast them with the 2 hour or 90 minute,
right.
Or if it's a TV show, 30 minute or 60 minute hero's journey story. A micro story is a very short, persuasive story that you can typically tell in a minute or two.
Okay.
Maybe even less. And they're very powerful in the sales situation, and they can be as short as one sentence. And let me give you an example. You know, you see these long drawn out stories, but let's say your company got some of your guys certified in Microsoft AI Azure, which is a real certification. I have no idea what it means, but it has some meaning in the tech world. Now, listen to these two differences. The first one is a micro story. Microsoft gave our team leaders two AI Azure certifications, 9 words. And notice how that hits a little harder than saying, we're certified in Microsoft AI Azure. Mm-hmm. Which is what most people would do. What a micro story does, and really what all stories do, is it puts somebody in a story. Well, what it does is it puts people in a story and something happens. But a micro story, a persuasion micro story, puts people in a story where you're about what you're selling. So in that 9-word micro story, Microsoft gave our team leaders 2 AI Azure certifications. You've got at least 3 people. The person at Microsoft who gave the certification, and since you said team leaders, there's at least 2 of them. Mm-hmm. But it's all implied, but the way the human mind works, we tend to gravitate towards things that are involving people. And when you talk about the credential this way, it makes what you have to say more relatable, easier for people to remember. It actually animates what you're offering.
So how do you, that's a good example. And where my mind goes to this is, okay, sounds good. Did you just create that out of thin air, or was there a process? No, you have to write the 3-paragraph version and then scale back to the 2-paragraph version and then this 1-sentence version. Because I've always felt like my best writing doesn't start with the end result. It starts with a bunch of stuff on paper that has to be ferreted out and filtered out. And it's like, what was I talking about here? So tell me the process there.
Okay. So that was a great question. There's a lot of questions inside the question, actually, mm-hmm. because some people are better with a template, a step-by-step, and some people are better doing it the way you do it. In the fiction writing world, they call them plotters and pantsers, as in seat of the pants. Not as in pantsing someone, but as in seat of the pants.
Yeah.
And Stephen King is a pantser. He just sits down, two characters kind of come to him, and then he writes it and writes it and writes it. And other people will, I think James, you know, the former ad guy who I can't remember his name right now, but he's written Patterson. I think he's more of a plotter. You know, he has more of a formula. It doesn't matter. Either way is fine. Okay. But let me tell you this. If writing it out longer works for you and then boiling it down works for you, don't try and change that. Now, in the book, I have the persuasion story code. There you go. Awesome. In the book, I have step-by-step questions to get you to get that 3 paragraphs out of yourself.
Okay.
And then from there, I show you how to put it together. So I do have a lot of formulas and instructions. But again, sometimes it's almost better to just get it all out and then go to the formulas. It's not quite as difficult. I mean, mm-hmm. I've coached enough writers to know that there are those 2 styles. And of course, there are many variations within each of them.
Okay, so let's go. I know that you had taken some time to write out some lessons or some tips for our listeners on how exactly do I start to construct a story. And we're not talking necessarily here about the telling of it, although you can go there, but more the construction of it, the crafting of it. Give us a few tips on how we can construct that.
Sure. Well, let's start with the basic principle that the confused mind does not buy. Okay. I mean, you know, there are a lot of people who say baffle them with BS, and that might be good in some circumstances, but for selling, I never recommend it.
Okay.
Right? So the best way to avoid confusion is to tell a simple micro story, and there's one person in the story, and there's 4 parts. The person had a problem. That person overcame an obstacle. They reached a solution, and they obtained a result. And putting together a micro story with these 4 steps. Let me do it again. Had a problem, mm-hmm. overcame an obstacle, reached a solution, obtained a result. Those 4 steps is a smart move for anyone in sales and marketing to clear up confusion quickly. So this is not just telling a story. This is getting your prospect really clear on what you have and what it does without saying, well, we have the new improved widget. Yeah. And in fact, it has 300% more. No, just tell a story. And here's something to think about. If your message is hard to decode, if you start talking about the widget and the 300%, it's hard to decode for any reason. There's a good chance you'll lose a sale. But if you make it super clear and direct, showing your prospect how what you have helps someone just like them, then they see the value and they're more likely to buy. So I'll give you an example of a micro story. You might be wondering about this book, Michael. And this is true. I mean, this is from an Amazon review. I rewrote the Amazon review, which was 3 paragraphs down to 4 sentences. Michael had read over a dozen books and spent thousands of dollars on story coaching before he read my book. Up until that point, he'd been very unclear on the structure, format, and content of telling persuasive stories. After he read the persuasion story code, all that changed. Now he's clear and confident whenever he needs to include a persuasive story in his pitch or in sales copy he's writing. Okay, that's four sentences. It's less than a minute. And voila, you know, it makes crystal clear what the benefit is.
Yeah, I love that because you could turn that into a 5-minute story too, where you go a little deeper into his frustrations with other story code or other story seminars. And you could talk a little bit more about his results. Not only has he done this, he's done this and has made his life easier. So the ability to expand from those four, within those four steps, to me, makes the magic happen. Because if I'm shooting a LinkedIn video, it might be 2 or 3 minutes, and so I'm going to have more than four sentences, correct?
Absolutely. And if you just put it right inside that structure, I mean, the structure doesn't seem imprisoning or
no,
you know, difficult to you, right? It seems kind of logical. It's like the way people normally talk.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's similar to the Joseph Campbell thing in that a person has a problem. Maybe for Luke Skywalker, the problem is a boring life, or it could be that he wants adventure. And so he sets out on an adventure and he has obstacles that he, so it's kind of the same, but it's really, I love it because it's simplified down to, it could be a 30-second or it could be a 3-minute, but the structure is there for whatever you are wanting to pursue.
Yeah, and you know, Bill, one of the interesting things is we seem to be genetically predisposed to listening to stories and to blotting everything out when people tell them. And it seems the evolutionary psychologists say this is because in the caveman days, there is a danger. Someone had been out hunting or scouting or whatever, and there was a danger and they wanted to tell a person about the danger and how they avoided it. This was like survival information and it needed to be encoded in the minds of other people. And they weren't going to have Mr. Miyagi in classes and drills. They got to hear it once.
Yeah.
So that's why we take in stories so much better than data.
Okay, so you've given us a framework, which I love. And to me, this is what a listener should be writing down, putting it in their Google Doc somewhere so that when they actually do a presentation, a call, a video, they can reference, they go back and refer to this. Give us another one here. We're speaking today, by the way, with David Garfinkel, who's the author of the Persuasion Story Code. You can find out more. And he's also offering our listeners the first two chapters. If you go to persuasionstorycode.com, you can get the first two chapters. Thank you, David, for doing that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, so here's another. It's kind of a story. It's almost more of a reason why. Provide your customers with a ready-made, easy-to-repeat justification for buying as part of your pitch or copy in a language they can confidently repeat to others. And this is such a powerful tool for anyone looking to make their sales stick. And here's the deal. People often face questions or doubts from others after they buy something. It's just how people are. For some reason, other people feel compelled to weigh in after the fact and challenge people. I mean, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
everyone,
I do.
Everyone who's done sales or, for that matter, bought something where a wife or a husband,
yeah,
or a boss, or you spent money on what? So, yeah, exactly. So giving people ready-made justification is much more about than making the sale. It's about making sure your customer feels good about the purchase and is ready to back up their decision if doubts try to creep in. And this can lead to word of mouth support for your business too. So to do this effectively, just think ahead about the kinds of questions or doubts people might have, mm-hmm, and use your experience with common objections you already hear to craft answers that are not only convincing, but easy for your customers to remember and repeat. And prepare your justification statement ahead of time. You might even say, well, you know, they're going to say, what, you bought another book on story? Oh, yeah, but this one tells you how to write the kind of stories you can use in sales. Or, oh, what, you got new tire? Well, yeah, this one is a flat run tire, so even if it blows out, you know, right? I mean,
just so it's the story of justification that you as a buyer might use with another party who's infiltrating your space and trying to cast doubt on your purchase, or just internally to yourself, like, no, here's why I bought this, because this will help me do this, this, and this in a way that I've never had before, and this is going to help me get to my goals. So the justification story, I like that. Is there, so I think you might have had one more, or do you want to talk a little bit more about that one?
Yeah, I do have one more. I guess this is where I become a bit of a moralist, but it's about whether it's a bad idea to lie when you're telling a story or when you're making a sale. Because, you know, people don't always tell the truth. But here's the practical morality. When you tell a story, a lie works like a boomerang, and the truth works like a cowboy's lariat. And this insight is crucial for anyone in sales and marketing, because the lie is easier to use and it works pretty well if it's a good lie. But like a boomerang, it can come back and hit you in refunds, in customer resentment, in bad reviews, even legal action. The truth takes more work, takes more skill to make into a persuasive story. But once you've roped in a client's decision, it's there, it stays there. And the reality is, people are not even always that aware about, conscientious about telling the truth. In fact, salespeople and marketers, we have a reputation for being liars, and that's certainly not the case.
Yeah.
We're not all liars. But it's easy to see how getting caught in a lie like this can hurt you. And it does, I'll admit it, it does take extra effort to put together a persuasion story that's true. It requires digging deeper for facts and putting in the effort to weave it into a compelling story. And it's hard work sometimes, but overall it's more worth doing. And, I guess I should add to that, as I'm thinking now, reputation, right? And social media. I mean, man, you know, I have seen people in my direct marketing business get slaughtered so quickly when the FTC comes knocking on their door, and their reputation, like air out of a balloon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I've always felt like, and I spend most of my time in the sales, you know, face-to-face coaching sales professionals. And there's always been a lot of manipulation in sales. Manipulation. Like if you ask a question in a certain way, you'll get this response, that kind of BS. I just despise that stuff, because I feel like you're resorting to a trick to start a relationship. So we all say that we want a good relationship with our clients, but we'll start that relationship with a lie or with a trick or tricking them or manipulating them. Of like, well, is that, you know, no wonder relationships fall apart. No wonder your customer spends money with you for 6 months and then they're out, because you never, they got it. They detected that vibe. And so it's the same thing here. It's like, you can lie, but just take a little bit more time and tell the truth, and the truth will be much more effective if a well thought out truth than just a superficial lie.
It will. And, you know, people can feel it. They can pick up nonverbals. Even if it's a phone sale, and nobody uses phones these days, everyone uses Zoom or StreamYard or something, right? They can tell by the expression on your face and the voice tonality. So yeah, that's it.
Yeah, good. David Garfinkel, I appreciate you being on today. This has been great. Once again, you can get the first two chapters of his book called The Persuasion Story Code. You can go to persuasionstorycode.com to download that. And how can people get a hold of you, David? Is there a way they can connect with you there on the site, or is there another better place?
Yeah, so if you want coaching on stories or anything else, direct response, copywriting, copy review, GarfinkelCoaching.com, GARFINKEL.com. And I'm also on Twitter. That's where we met.
Yeah.
And, I think it's Garfinkel Coach. And I'm on LinkedIn as well.
Okay.
And no more Facebook, no Instagram. I'm done with that stuff.
Yeah, maybe we should come back on here and do this again in a couple months and revisit some of, not just reinforce what you've talked about, but kind of go to the next level, which is the whole marketing. How do I write in the marketing language on social and LinkedIn and shooting videos and things like that. I think there's a whole nother chapter there that we could dive into. So if you're open to that, I'd like to have you back on.
I'd love to come back. I appreciate you having me today.